Inflation in Europe has fallen more than expected, down to 2.4% now. That clears the way for a potential interest rate cut by the European Central Bank. Wall Street is higher. The Dow's up 76 points. NASDAQ ahead 67. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University now offers a bachelor's degree in ministry leadership. This is a 48-hour certified degree program designed for pastors. Ministry workers over 50 years of age with over 5 years of ministry service, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Please leave your name and contact info to schedule your personal interview. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Before we had our break at the top of the hour, we were discussing the abortion issue, where the Florida Supreme Court recently ruled 4-3 that a deceptive proposal to codify unrestricted abortion in the state constitution could go before voters this November. Now, there were 3 justices that got it right in their dissent. They correctly argued that the proposed amendment misleads voters and fails to convey the far-reaching legal consequences if voted into law. So the justices were Renatha Francis, Jamie Crossians, and Meredith Sasso. The 3 women on the court all dissented from the majority opinion. The 3 dissenting justices said the language was defective in several major areas, and here they are. The amendment misleads voters by ending, as opposed to limiting, legislative and executive action on abortion. That's outrageous. Number 2, that it was ambiguous and undefined terms that have no shared meaning, setting the stage for protracted litigation. And then number 3, the amendment ignores personhood and poses a devastating infringement on a person's right to life. Now, these 3 dissenting female justices saw that and they went against this amendment, but 4 other males, majority of them Republicans, did not see it that way and are allowing this on the ballot. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear your reaction to that. You can call in at 904-831-0917. And I understand we have Lily on the line. Lily, are you there?
Thank you, Congressman Hill. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, Lily. How are you today?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Congress?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am in full agreement with every word, all of your thinking, with the issue you're dealing with. I am in full agreement with you that life action is from God, and whatever stage, it's a miracle from God, it's a gift from God, and it should be treasured as such. And we know from experience that this is true. My concern is that our country has been making major compromises that has brought us to where we are at this time. We are in serious trouble. And the so-called church, I like to say so-called church, because the Lord tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So we know the true church is here. But the so-called church is big and powerful in America and around the world, and it has been failing. The so-called church has been failing our cultures, failing the nations. If the church stood up for what we believe and what we stand for, our culture wouldn't be where it is today. Today, we can consider ourselves, if you're not seeing it well, you know your eyes are totally blind, that we are on the downward trend and we are in deep trouble. Because my concern, I know God is on the throne, and there's nothing that is escaping his vision. He's taking account of what is all that is going on, and we know he's going to repay. According to, or today we have rebelled against God, our culture is in deep trouble. And it is interesting that at this time, at Easter, we just come to Christmas, God could have sent our Messiah, our Redeemer. He could have sent him to earth in any way, different ways. He could send him a man, a boy. He chose to send him as a fetus to begin life just like humanity, all of us, we begin life the same way from the conception. That is why he called Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham's children, because when God was ready to send the Messiah, he had to find a godly couple. Mary was well taught in the scripture. Mary and Joseph, they were God-fearing young people, and God could find a brand new home. These young people were just coming together to start the family, and God could entrust them with the fetus of his son, our Messiah. And Mary came up after listening to what Gabriel told her.
Okay, Lily, thank you so much for your comments. You made some excellent points, and one in particular, a point that you made, which I agreed with, was that right now our society here in America seems to be in a downward spiral. And a part of that, I'm sure many of you did not miss this, was how Joe Biden declared on Easter Sunday a transgender day of visibility. Joe Biden and the communist Democrats chose Christians' most holy day of the year to say that it was going to be a transgender day of visibility. Utterly amazing. Now, first of all, they can declare all that they want. That doesn't change the fact of the holiness of that day. And that is Easter Sunday, where we celebrated the resurrection of our living Savior, who died for our sins, came back to life, arose from the grave, defeated hell, death, and the grave, took away our sins, so that we now have access to him and him to us. An amazing event that all people should be grateful for, whether you're a Christian or not, but particularly Christians should be grateful for that. And we are. We are. It's a holy day. And here was Joe Biden declaring on Easter Sunday, this past Easter Sunday, issued a transgender day of visibility proclamation. Now, here's something that is amazing. This is an article in Zero Hedge written by Tyler Durden. And the title of it is, "I Didn't Do That. Biden reportedly has no idea he issued Trans Day of Visibility proclamation." In this article by Tyler Durden, he says, "Is this an April Fool's Day joke?" It was. He wrote this on April 1st, April Fool's Day. "While Democrats have spent the better part of the last 6 months insisting that President Biden is a well-oiled galaxy brain behind closed doors, the president clearly can't keep up with his Marxist handlers." And make no mistake, these are communists that are in this Biden regime that were installed because, in my opinion, they stole that election. They did not win that election. There's too much evidence of many irregularities happening, which showed that President Trump actually won that election, but they stole it. And so here are these Marxist handlers now who are saying, when asked about proclaiming Easter Sunday Trans Day of Visibility, Biden flat out denied it. "I didn't do that," Biden reportedly said when asked about the proclamation, Real Clear Politics' Philip Wegman reports. When asked about Senator Speaker Johnson's claim that he had, Biden replied, "He's thoroughly uninformed." "I didn't do that," Biden said when asked about proclaiming Easter Sunday Trans Day of Visibility. And asked about Speaker Johnson's claim otherwise, the president replied, "He's thoroughly uninformed." Except, as we all know, that is complete nonsense. Here's Biden saying that, "I didn't do that. I didn't issue that proclamation saying that Easter Sunday was Trans Day of Visibility." So here's what's going on. Either Biden doesn't remember doing that, or his handlers did it for him without his knowledge. Either way, something is drastically wrong. Something is very wrong if we have a president, so-called president, who did not remember issuing a proclamation a day after it was issued, or saying that he didn't do it, that someone else did it on his behalf. How dangerous is that? What else is going on that they are saying is coming from this president but is being done on his behalf, or less than 24 hours later, he doesn't remember it? Amazing, utterly amazing. So the biggest takeaway from this is obviously, who's running the show? The president doesn't even know what they are putting out in his name. It's hard to figure out which possibility is funnier here, that he has no idea what's being said under his name in proclamations and public posts, or that he's already forgotten what happened literally yesterday. So is it funnier or scarier? The thing is, it's unacceptable either way. Either way is unacceptable. Okay, let's switch gears again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join the discussion, if you have any questions, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Here's an article from Blaze Media. And it says the FBI violated American citizens' Fourth Amendment rights 278,000 times. The Bureau blasted over attempt to put gloss on Section 702. So in other words, our Fourth Amendment is unreasonable search and seizure. We have protection from our government from that. However, the FBI is attempting to rehabilitate the public image of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, as Congress has until April 19th to reauthorize it. Let me just go ahead and give you a spoiler alert right now. Congress is going to reauthorize it. It's going to pass. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to pass without any changes at all. And if there are any changes, they're going to be minor and amount to nothing. It is going to pass this Congress. What is supposed to have been used to as surveillance on foreign intelligence has now been turned into a sledgehammer against American citizens. So Christopher Wray is attempting to put a gloss on Section 702 as a part of a month-long campaign to get the passage of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. They have until April 19th to reauthorize it, reauthorize this FISA Act. Now, among some of the critics is Senator Mike Lee, Republican from Utah, who wrote, "The FBI just got called out in a community note on X. Congress, take note. FISA 702 has been used for warrantless surveillance of U.S. citizens hundreds of thousands of times. Yet, the FBI demands 702 be authorized by April 19th without a warrant requirement for searches of U.S. citizens. Many in Congress will want to reauthorize FISA 702, which is set to expire April 19th. Again, just trust me, ladies and gentlemen, it is not going to expire. It is going to continue. Hey, I see we have a caller on the line. Derby, how are you today, Derby?
I'm doing just fine. 2 points on two different topics concerning abortion or the legislation and the laws, et cetera.
Yes.
You say we shouldn't kill the baby, for sure, but how about punishing the sperm donor? People get other women pregnant and nothing happens to them. And then you and I, taxpayers, pay for all the expenses. We pay for the abortion. Well, the sperm donor, in my opinion, should be totally responsible for the next 18 years.
You are absolutely right. Absolutely right, Derby. We should not be punishing the baby. We should be punishing the father. Great point.
Okay, and the other point is concerning the bridge collapse, that cargo ship. Yeah. Biden says that he's going to pay for the rebuilding of the bridge. Not he. It's the company, the cargo company from where? What? I forget what country. Should be the one paying for it. They broke it, so they pay, not the taxpayer.
You're absolutely right on that point too, Derby. Here it is. This shipping company, which I believe is called Deli, D-E-L-I, and they are a foreign a company, they are worth billions, and they should be paying for it. They were the ones who damaged the bridge. They were the one who caused that catastrophe. They should be paying for it. Not you and I, Derby, not American taxpayers. Excellent point. Thank you for bringing that up, Derby. But anything else that you want to add to that?
Well, pay not only for the bridge, but also for the collateral damage, like the supply chain issues, you know, that businesses will suffer because of that. So they should pay for that too. That's why you have liability insurance.
You're absolutely right. The company should be paying for that. They do have insurance for it. All ships on the high seas have insurance. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. But you're absolutely right. And what the insurance company cannot pay for because they can't afford it, but I'm sure they probably can. But if they cannot, then the company itself should be paying for that. Not only the repairs, but also the collateral damage, as you say, all the other ships which were unable now to navigate in and out of that Baltimore harbor because of damage to that bridge. Great point, Derby. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Derby. Thank you. Great point. Derby made such a two excellent points there. One, that when a woman is raped, you shouldn't punish the baby, you should punish the father instead, absolutely. And number two, that bridge collapse, to pay for it, it should be paid for by the company that hit the bridge, and not only paying for the repairs needed for the bridge, but all the collateral damage associated with that. Okay, let's change subjects just a little bit here. Get this. Here is a title that I'm reading from Zero Hedge. Amazing. Mass layoffs begin at California fast food chains as the $20 minimum wage law takes effect. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? In California, there is a $20 minimum wage law, which is due to take effect here in the very near future. Take effect sometime this month, in April. Now, remember, it wasn't that long ago when they were screaming $15 minimum wage. I remember even before that when they were screaming for a $12 minimum wage. Then they were screaming $15 minimum wage. Now, California has it at a $20 minimum wage. And guess what? That won't be enough either. They're going to want to raise it. Why not $50 minimum wage an hour? Why not $100 an hour minimum wage? It's because Democrats do not understand basic economics. They do not understand basic common sense of what would happen. Here's this article. This result shouldn't surprise anyone. Inflation has driven up operational costs for businesses across the U.S. and shrunk profit margins for major food chains in the past few years. This has led to higher menu prices, like the $18 Big Mac meal. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, in places in Connecticut and even in New York, you can pay $18 for a Big Mac, fries, and a medium Coke because of their goofy minimum wage laws and the other things which are driving up costs. Another anchor dragging on the restaurant business in many regions was at least 2 years of COVID stimulus coupled with rent moratoriums, creating aggressive labor shortages and raising wages an upwards of $16 an hour for brand new, no-skill employees. Small chains and mom-and-pop businesses simply can't compete. Larger chains raise prices, but have also been forced to reduce employees and labor costs through automation. But the layoffs are just getting started. Enter California's Fast Recovery Act, passed into law in 2022 and going into effect in April this month of this year. The legislation requires a particular set of food chains dealing in certain kinds of products outlined in the law to raise their minimum wages, already at $16 an hour, to $20 an hour. The income increase is limited to chains that have 60 or more locations in the state of California, meaning the combined number of locations, regardless of who owns them, must be higher than 60. Keep in mind that while many of these chains are associated with international corporations, they are owned and run by franchisees. They are still family-run businesses. So mass layoffs are now a guarantee, with many restaurants already firing thousands of workers, as well as some chains closing multiple locations because the cost of operation will be higher than the benefits. Restaurants are struggling to stay above water, and Democrats just threw them an anvil, California Assembly Republican leader James Gallagher told Fox Business. He goes on to say, "We warned Democrats this new mandate would cost jobs. They ignored us. And here we are with the highest unemployment rate in the country, poised to get even worse." So the digital options that many fast food franchises are referring to are automated ordering systems, as well as robot workers, which are slowly but surely becoming more cost-effective than human laborers. At least one fast food location in California is testing a fully robotic restaurant with no human workers. Layoffs will accelerate with the normalization of the technology, and the high wages that are crushing profit margins are making the decision easy for business owners. Some chains have reported that they will be forced to cut working crews in half, meaning those workers will be paid $4 an hour more, but will have to work twice as hard per shift. The most probable end result in the next 5 years will be the majority of chain restaurants operating with a tiny crew of humans working alongside increasing automation. The problem that is typical among leftists is a lack of understanding when it comes to the basic of business operations. Profit margins can be thin and money can still be made due to sheer scale, but revenues at that level are often calculated in cents or fractions of a cent per sale. So Democrats just don't seem to get it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not surprising. That's, Democrats are just wired differently. This is Mike Hill. I've been sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. It's been my honor and pleasure. I want to leave this with you. Despite everything that is going on around us, God is still on the throne. Don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call